So in my German message, I repeated my recent sermon on how Jesus' new commandment changed everything. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the Ten Commandments, and then he gives us a new commandment. The original commandment, and it's still the perfect, existing, never-changing, forever commandment. But the Ten Commandments are summed up that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And I said them in the wrong order. The second part of that is that you should love your neighbor as yourself. This law is perfect, and we fall short of that law. It is a very good law, but Jesus gave us a new commandment to love your neighbor the way that he sees them, the way that he loves them. Wow, that's way better. The first way is really good, but it's still totally focused on self-preservation and preference. Everybody wants to be safe. Everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants to be happy, and everybody wants what they want. So when we love other people the way we want to be loved, then we love them. We give them what they want. We ask them, well, what do you want? And they tell us, and then we give them exactly what they want. But we're wrong. We don't know what we need. Just like children and parents, parents love their children the way they're supposed to be loved. Children don't know what they need. They need broccoli, and they need hot peppers. But they think they need candy and cookies and cartoons. The second way, the new way, is so much better because it takes all of the ownership off of you. In reckless abandon, you can now give all of your love away as much as you want. And when you go back to see how much love is left, it's still overflowing and it never runs out because it's not yours and it's not from you. And so you just keep giving away all this stuff. It's like if you had a store with all the best stuff and somebody else just kept filling it up and you just kept giving stuff away and they kept filling it up. You never run out of stuff. It's overflowing because it's not coming from you. Like the original commandment says, now it's coming from Jesus. So the first covenant is based on self-preservation, to love others the way you like it. The second covenant is reckless abandon, where you no longer care about yourself because you're cared for. And so you just give everything away. Self-preservation is old covenant, is Old Testament. And it's not wrong and it's not bad. It's perfect. We just can't do it. We run out of gas. We just can't achieve it. We're the problem, not the law. Jesus did not abolish the law. He fulfilled it by giving us the new covenant where nothing runs out and it's all based on him instead of on you. Now, in reckless abandon, we can give our life away instead of try to save it for ourselves. And the more you give away, the more is given back to you. So the more life you give away, the more life you have. The more love you give away, the more love you have. The more skill you give away, the more skill you have. You exchange your old life for the new life. You cannot learn how to live this way. You cannot learn how to love this way. You can't hear it and know it, and you can't memorize it. You can't do it. You can't do it by listening to a story. You can't do it by following instructions. If you could know the story and if you could follow instructions, that would be perfect, but you're not strong enough. You run out of gas. There is not enough of you to go around. You run out. You're going to die. Your body is going to be buried. Your stuff, your body and all your stuff, not you, you will live forever, but your body and all your stuff is going to stay on this earth and it's going to be gone and forgotten forever. But you will last forever in Christ Jesus. You cannot learn how to do this. It's given to you. You have to believe it and accept it You have to surrender to it and be dependent upon it. It being a person. It being Jesus. And then he moves you. And then he loves others through you. And that's what I want to focus on today, is getting to know Jesus. How do you get to know someone? First, you hear the stories about them. This person or that person is amazing or terrible. And then you know that you either want to get close to them or you want to avoid them. But then when you go spend time with them, have you ever met somebody that other people all think is terrible? And then when you get to know them, you find out they're actually really decent people. For whatever reason, they just have a bad reputation. Have you ever met people that are totally awesome and you've actually gotten close to them and they're total jerks? They're just horrible, terrible people. They just put on a face and they're fake. And everything they do that people think they love about them, but they didn't get to know them. But once you get to know them, they're not so nice. And again, it's not about whether they're nice or whether they're not nice. That's not the focus at all. The focus is how do you get to know somebody? How do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them. If you go for a walk with someone, you can learn that they hate going for walks. Or you can learn that they have allergies. Or you can find out the animals that they love. Or flowers and plants. They're totally into it. If you go out for dinner, or if you have them over for dinner, you can find out that they love sushi. Or that they're vegetarian. Or you can find out what they're allergic to. You'll find out what their favorite foods are. And you might find out they have no manners. Am I the only one who's deech when I eat noodles up? Oh, when people come around, I can't enjoy it. It just doesn't taste the same if you don't slurp the living daylights out of it. It tastes so much better. Try it. It's messy, but it's awesome. But they have no manners. Or you might find out when you go to a restaurant that they're really generous tippers, even if the service is bad. Or that they're very kind to homeless people. Someone can tell you good or bad things about people, but when you hang out with them, you really get to know them. The way they laugh, the things they think that are funny, or they're so serious all the time. That wrinkle on their face, or wrinkles. If you're a Lowen or a Clausen, we have lots of them. If you want some, let me know. I'll pass them on. They have scars. They have warts. They have a smile. It's their style. The way they walk, you know, they have this step. I'm going to make fun of Mike because when Mike preaches, he always does this. He's the only one who has that walk. I can't do it like him, and I'm trying to make it look worse than it really is. But when he, and he's my best friend, and when he gets talking, he doesn't think about how he's moving. He just loves you so much, and he just can't not give that message. But he's got that goofy little limp. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed. Mr. Abrams, when he was preaching, he used to always breathe through his nose. Does anybody remember that? He was awesome. And then he would preach a little further, and then all of a sudden he'd run out of air, and it was always deep through the nose. And when you get to know somebody, right? Like, you get to know the things about them. Jake Bergen, he always dances at the back when we're singing. Jake Bandman, he's got all your license plates memorized. Like, when you get to know somebody, you get to find out these things about them. And it's not good things or bad things, it's just things. I can't tell you what my things are because I'm me. I don't know what they are. I cry in front of people. I hate it. I'll tell a long story about that someday. But anyway, you can get to see their face. I've worked in a factory for 28 years. And working in a factory with that many people, you get to know them all. And isn't it amazing that when the people are so far away across the factory, like you can't, there's no way, if you've never met a person, there's no way you can even tell if it's a guy or a girl. But once you know somebody, you can tell. Hey, that's Frank. Hey, that's Trudy. Hey, that, and you can see that. And so then it's like, well, I was going this way, but now I'll go this way because I want to go say hi or whatever. But it's like from far away, you'd never recognize a person, but since you know them, maybe they're out in the parking lot, maybe in school, maybe it's at church where, you know, you see somebody over in the parking lot and they're getting out of their car. It's a new car, you've never seen it before, but the person gets out and is like, whoa, Thiessen's got a new car. I was like, how did you know that was a Thiessen? Oh yeah, I know him, or I know her. And you just know the shape of their hair, Or they might get out of the car and they might say something. Or maybe it's the way they close the car door or whatever. You just know that's how they do it, and then you just know who it is. Maybe it's the clothes that they wear, but you just know who they are. You know them. And when you see them from far away, there's no way you should possibly be able to recognize them. And this is what blows me away about artists. Artists who draw somebody and it looks just like them. But if you look at it, it's three blobs of paint. It's bloop, bloop, bloop. And you can tell, yep, that's Henry. How in the world did you do that? There's no face. There's no nothing. But they just know there's this shape about you. And it's yours. And nobody can do it. And there's a sound about you. And that you can be working away, or you can be sleeping, or whatever, on the couch, or whatever, but then all of a sudden you hear that voice, Grandma! Or all of a sudden you hear that voice, oh, that's Dad, I'm out of here. Or whatever it is that you hear, but you don't even see them yet, but you hear them and you know what's coming. You know, you're either going to get a piece of gum out of the purse, or you're going to get a spank, so it's time to go. You know, you're going to go one way or the other, but you're going to go. And that's what it is, what it means when we get to know Jesus. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And of course, now Psalms 23 from Mike's preaching is just blowing out my mind. And when he has brought out his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know the sound of his staff. They know the shape of his figure. They know what kind of clothes he wears. They know what he smells like, because they know him. A stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And this is the figure of speech that Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and find pasture, salvation, eternal life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Sometimes while hanging out with others and getting to know them, we start falling in love with them, or we start to trust them. But definitely we have a relationship with them. And maybe we learn to not trust them, and maybe we don't love them, but we have to work with them. And so we develop a way to where we can relate with each other, but we get to know each other. The dirty laundry, the skeletons in the closet, and the good, the bad, and the ugly. One thing that's really interesting about hanging out with other people is that you get to know yourself. Isn't it interesting sometimes when you get together with someone because you want to tell them your problem that you don't know what to do, and as you're telling them your problem, the answer comes to you. Because you're speaking it out loud to somebody else and they didn't even give you any advice, and now you know exactly what to do. You may surprise yourself what you're going to learn about yourself when you get to know others. But the other that I'm talking about today is Jesus. So what is our perception of Jesus? That's exactly it. We have a perception of Jesus. Somewhere along the way, from what we've heard and what we've seen and what we've experienced, what we think and what's happened to us in our life, we've made a picture of what Jesus is. Some of us even think what he might look like. And it's all in our mind. What he looks like, how he acts, what he would do. Some of us think he's really serious. Do you believe Jesus would tell a joke? It's because we've heard all these stories and we've been told how to believe and how to act and how to behave, and we project that onto Jesus and how he is. But who here really knows him? We've only heard stories. So we need to challenge ourselves. Reread the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the stories of the life that Jesus lived. And you can learn a lot about Jesus because there's a lot of things that he says in there specifically. So read the four Gospels. We can read prophecies about him. We can read the rest of the New Testament about him. And through those, we could learn about John, about Paul, about Peter, about Isaiah, and all the prophets. In Scripture, when we read the Gospels, we see his actions, we hear his words, and then in prayer, we talk to him, and we listen to see if we can hear anything back. In John chapter 5:19, and in John chapter 8:28, and we read it today in German, in John chapter 14, Jesus only ever said what he heard from God, and Jesus only ever did what God sent him to do, ever. This is how we get to know him. Jesus likes little kids in Matthew 19:14 when the kids were getting annoying. That's why when the kids all of a sudden scream in the congregation and you can't hear the pastor anymore, you know, it's that perfect sound that just gets in your ear. You're pretty sure all your hair is standing on end and you start twitching and acting all goofy. That's the perfect sound of an innocent person who is just being who they were made to be at that time in their life. It's a glorious cry of worship that proves that God is because of how he made them to do that. Otherwise, there is no other way they could do that. Jesus astounded educated men when he was 12 years old, and you can read that in Luke chapter 2, 49. Jesus had lots of patience. We read it in German with Philip. He's like, Philip, you've been with me for so long and you still don't know that I'm God. Thomas doubted that Jesus rose from the dead, so Jesus had Thomas put his hands in his wounds. We might think, oh, gross, but Thomas couldn't doubt anymore. And Jesus has patience. He waits for you. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I believe it's verse 14 that says, the Word became flesh. Jesus is God. And he was before the world was. And he still is. Jesus is the scariest person ever. Revelations 19, verses 11 through 16. His robe is dipped in blood. His eyes are like flames. There's a sword coming out of his mouth. And he's got a big tattoo on his leg. And this is not a reason to get tattoos. But he's got a big mark on his name that says his name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You don't mess with him. His horse is also probably the scariest horse in the world. And everybody following him is dressed in perfectly pure white clean robes. Jesus knew that John the Baptist wasn't perfect, and yet he allowed John the Baptist to baptize Jesus in a sinner's baptism of repentance. So he was humble. That's Matthew chapter 3:15. Jesus calls us his friends. That's John 15:15. And this is the punchline. This is beauty. I'm going to use John 14 verse 27 as the benediction today, but this is the reason I wrote this sermon. First, Hebrews chapter 4:14. We're getting there. I'm still drawing it out a little bit. Hebrews 4:14. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet he is without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Grace to help in our time of need. So come boldly before the throne of God. I have to humble myself and cry before you. I have to sit in that chair and let people who are better than me pray over me. I have to stand before you and cry like a fool. And I'm so embarrassed, and yet it's my blessing and it's my gift. What are those things that you're ashamed of? Stop being ashamed of them and come boldly before the throne of God and own it. You are not a fool. Our ideals are wrong. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. So come boldly before the throne of God. Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, to him it will be opened. Or which one of you, if your son asks you for bread, you give them a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you give him a serpent or a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him? Come and ask. Look, if you look, you are going to find. You're going to find so much more than you're looking for. And then here's the punchline. Jesus, when he's praying his last prayer before they go out to the Garden of Gethsemane and all the horrible things that are to come to pass happen to him, he prays this. John chapter 17, verse 24. I'm going to paraphrase it first and then I'll read it. While he's praying, he says, God, I want my friends to come to my house. Can they please be where I am so that they can see the stuff that you gave me? Isn't that so awesome? Like, little kids will say, if they get a new toy, it's like, can my friends come over? Or if they get a new toy, you know, like on Christmas morning, everybody needs a truck so you can bring all their stuff with to grandma and grandpa so that they can play with it there and break it and lose it and then cry all night long. But at least they want to bring it so that all their friends can see the good stuff that their parents gave them. Listen to this. John chapter 17, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also who you have given to me can be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus is pretty much saying, Father, I have to live forever, and you've given me so many friends. Can they live with me to see all the cool stuff you gave me? You're so awesome. He just wants to share it with you. That's the only thing on his mind besides God. He loves Father. Father gave him his glory. Jesus has all the glory of God, and Jesus wants you to be where he is so you can see it. But not only see it, elsewhere in Scripture we can see that he is going to lay it on you. Regardless of how you feel right now, regardless of what you've done, regardless of where you're going, you might not feel worthy. Who would dare stand up and say, I want what Jesus has? Well, Satan would. I want what he has. I'm as good as he is. Not one of us. And yet Jesus is saying, can they please come here so that we can share this, what you have given me, together? It's just too good not to show. It's too good not to share. You're the only one that he wants to share that with. Please come. Seek him. You're going to find more than you ever asked for. Allow yourself to stand where God places you. And I don't say be foolish when I say be the fool that you are, but it's actually a gift. You just may not know it. Share it with people. It will change you. It will change their lives. God does this through you, and he does it to them. So let's worship him. Please bow to God, and let's pray from our hearts. Father, we bow before you in Jesus' name. There are so many things that we hide from you. And we need you every hour. So thank you. You promise to hear our prayers and you answer them according to your perfect will for us, better than we could ask or imagine. So thank you. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And then verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. Amen. So therefore, go in peace.